was exactly 60 years ago that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted by the UN General Assembly. The groundbreaking document was the first universal statement on the basic principles of inalienable human rights. In particular, it affirmed the inherent human dignity and worth of every person in the world, without distinction of any kind. The 60th anniversary of the Declaration is being marked in hundreds of different ways throughout the world. Here in the Vatican, the Secretary of State, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, was to address a commemorative meeting on the anniversary, and this was being followed later by a special concert attended by Pope Benedict. The commemorative meeting in the Paul VI Audience Hall was being attended by several senior Vatican officials and the heads of the UN International Labour Organization and of the UN Food and Agricultural Organization. At the end of this reflection, prizes were due to be awarded to several recipients by the St. Matthew Foundation in memory of the late Cardinal Van Thuan, who spent 13 years in prison in his native Vietnam and inspired all those around him with his love, compassion, and unshakable faith. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights was drawn up in 1948 in the aftermath of the Second World War and the Holocaust. 60 years on from then, it's a mixed picture. Human rights are still widely violated throughout the world in different ways and to differing degrees. But on the plus side, there is now far greater awareness on the part of individuals of what rights we should enjoy. In this respect, the Declaration has been and continues to be a source of inspiration for national and international efforts to promote and protect human rights. Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino is the president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace and was the person due to introduce and conclude the commemorative meeting held in the Vatican to mark this anniversary. Earlier, he told my colleague Emma McCarthy that our world would indeed be a far better place if governments and nations had adopted and applied in full all the Declaration's resolutions.
If only was respected what is in the Declaration, the world would be much, much better. I'm sorry to say that when I go around the world and I can see, touch with my finger, that the Declaration is not, many times is one, two, three articles. I cannot say that all the articles are neglected in a country. No, perhaps only few. But again, it's important that the Declaration be known. And so that is necessary to teach.
And for governments to apply.
And that would be a good encouragement if the governments ask the educational institutes to promote and to teach among the young generations. This is important. I remember when Pope John Paul II came to United Nations, I was there as representative of the Holy See, and in his address to the General Assembly on the 5th October of 1995, he spoke about human rights and spoke about the human rights as a grammar, natural grammar, that everybody must be respectful of. And this grammar that is printed in our human being. And after, at the end, he said, for us, the Catholic, the moving force is Jesus Christ, because he has taught us the commandment of love, and so we have to apply this to every person, etc. But this is the Declaration is not only for Christian Catholics, it's for everybody, because these little things are present in our human being.
In our DNA.
Yeah, in our DNA. And so, but with the means that we have at our disposal, we must let those principles known by everybody. Because if you don't know, if you are not reminded, it's difficult to apply.
This, of course, initiative is happily married to another initiative that's very dear to the heart of the Vatican. It's very dear to the heart for the Council of Justice and Peace. This, of course, is the award, the Cardinal Antoine Award, which will be given this year to the former president of the International Confederation of the Red Cross. Can you tell us about this award, what it means, and, of course, the other projects? It's the practical application of human rights being respected.
Oh, yes. This is when I told Pope Benedict XVI that we wanted to promote, to open the process for beatification of Cardinal Antoine, he thanked me very, very much and said, "Oh, I was waiting for someone who would propose that, because I am convinced that he is a holy man, and so merits to be indicated as an example to the Church." And so, in order to promote the knowledge of this great man, we founded this foundation, Saint Matthew, a name of an apostle, in memory of Cardinal Antoine, in order to promote the knowledge and to also to promote the process of beatification, because I just received a consistent amount from the Vietnamese of United States, and they sent this amount to help in the process of beatification of Cardinal Antoine. And so this figure, we want also name after him those recognition that we give to Cornelio Sommaruga, the former president of the Confederation Red Cross, and also to the other projects that are very important. Many of these projects I have been visiting, and so I could see with my eyes how marvelous are they. But this is only a small example of the myriad of projects that are going on in all the world, especially in the developing world, that merit to be shown to everybody, in order to let know everyone that there are people who do beautiful things.
That was Cardinal Martino, head of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, talking to my colleague Emma McCarthy. The UN, for its part, acknowledges that over the past six decades, governments have failed to fully abide by the principles enshrined in the Declaration, but says its message has an enduring relevance and influence. Afsane Basinpour is the director of the UN Regional Information Centre for Europe. She says the document's message is something we should all aim for.
This is a constitution of the peoples. We're not there yet. It's aspirations. We have made big strides. It's basically a normative. Everything that has been adopted for human rights was based on this document. So this is what we're aspiring towards. Of course, lots of things haven't been achieved. And the UN doesn't have any powers to oblige its member states to do or not to do. We set the norms, and then we hope and encourage that countries will follow them.
Sandro Covani is director of the UN Interregional Crime and Justice Institute, and he says the principles enshrined in the Declaration have had a very strong influence on individuals, governments and nations over the past decades.
In my personal opinion, we can now say that it's such an important document that it represents, in a way or another, a kind of constitution of the peoples of the world. The protagonist of the Charter of the United Nations says, "We the peoples." Does not mean only the government or only the parliament or only the civil society. All what represent the will of people who stay together, which is the best of humankind. There are lights and shadows. In many countries, the Human Rights Declaration has inspired the constitution of the country. in many other countries has inspired revolutions, sometimes even violent revolution. In a few cases, also non-violent revolution, like we have seen in many Eastern Europe countries. So many concepts are now very well known all over the world. There is no longer a person who is responsible of a genocide who can say that he's doing it without knowing that he's doing it against the principles of human rights. So any wrongdoer now in the world knows that if he does something wrong, the world recognizes what he's doing as a wrong thing. And his spouse and his children will know that the father or the mother were a criminal against human principles because they were not respecting human rights. There are some areas which are very weak. First of all, for example, there is not one single country in the world who can say we are respecting all rights, all the 30 rights, including the social and economic rights.
That was Sandro Calvani, head of the UN Interregional Crime and Justice Institute. And earlier you heard the voice of Afsane Basinpour, director of the UN Regional Information Centre for Europe, speaking to Emma McCarthy.